This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salam wa rasulullah wa alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala, thumma ma ba, to proceed. Well, today, inshallah, we will go over the rest of the chapter on the conditions of the obligation of qisas. And we will try to cover, inshallah, the conditions of execution of qisas or equal retribution, and also al-afwu, which is pardoning, and the suqut al-qisas, when does the obligation become void, or the obligation of qisas become void. So Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah says here in his book Al-Umda, فصل ويشترط لجواز استيفاء القصاص شروط ثلاثة أحدها أن يكون لمكلف إن كان لغيره أو له فيه حق وإن قل لم يجز استيفاؤه وإن استوفى غير المكلف حقه بنفسه أجزأ ذلك. Subsection: There are three conditions for the actual execution of retribution. First, the blood custodian must be mukallaf. If it is for a non-mukallaf, or if one of the blood custodians, no matter how small his share, is not mukallaf, then taking retribution is not permitted. If the non-mukallaf executes the retribution himself, it will suffice. Okay. So last time we were talking about the conditions of obligation. Okay, and the conditions of obligation of qisas is, when does qisas becomes obligatory? If you have a mukallaf, so someone who's liable, not a child or someone who's insane, kill a ma'soom, someone who is inviolable, and they are equal. And in the Hanbali madhab, equality refers to equality in religion and freedom. And as we said before, in the Hanafi madhab, that condition of equality is not there. When it comes to the mu'ahid or the zimmi, in the Hanafi madhab, as we discussed before, there is retribution from a Muslim for killing a mu'ahid, a non-Muslim living in a Muslim land with a covenant, so a covenanted non-Muslim. And the freedom also, the same applies here. It would not apply. So this is a condition according to the Hanbalis, and honestly according to the majority, but not according to the Hanafis. Okay. So, but certainly the Hanafis would apply this if it is between a Muslim and a Harbi, for instance. So they would not kill a Muslim for killing a Harbi. A Harbi is like a warring enemy. And no one would certainly do that. Of any background, of any religious background. And then, the other condition is that one of them is not the parent of another. One of them is not the parent of another. So these are 1, 2, 3, 4 conditions for intentional murder to warrant equal retribution. Now it's obligatory. Now qisas is obligatory, so we must carry it out. There are conditions now that we will discuss to actually carry it out, to carry out the equal retribution. And there are 3 conditions to carry out equal retributions. What are they? So these are the conditions of obligation. What are they? One of them is that the person entitled to it, that is waliyyaddam, that is the blood custodian, that is the family, the kin, that have the right to demand equal retribution, the heirs of the victim. all the heirs of the victim, including the spouses, the wife or the husband. So we want all the heirs of the victim that would be entitled to inheriting from the victim to be mukallaf. To be mukallaf. Because if they are not mukallaf, they cannot demand that, they cannot make the decision. So child or minor and insane, they cannot make the decision. But they do need to be mukallaf to make that decision. And they need to all agree. If one of them disagrees, then there will not be equal retribution. All will go to the diyah, or al-af, which is like pardoning without diyah. And then the third condition for to carry out equal retribution would be amn al-ta'addi. And amn al-ta'addi is guarantee of non-transgression, guarantee of non-transgression. That would be amn al-ta'addi. Three conditions. The first one Imam Ibn Qudama talks about here is to be a mukallaf. What if it is not a mukallaf? What if I have a child here or someone who is insane? If I have a child or someone who is insane, in the authorized view in the Hanbali Mazhab, the murderer will be locked up until puberty or sanity. Okay? And then when they reach puberty or sanity, they can make up their mind. There is another position in the Mazhab that says the wali, the guardian, can make that decision on their behalf. There is another position in the Mazhab that says the rest of the family members will make up that decision without counting the preference of the non-mukallaf or the child. But the authorized position in the Mazhab is this. So locked until, we will lock up the victim, the murderer, until the child reaches puberty, and then he can demand qisas or diyah. He can demand equal retribution with the rest of the family or diyah. So what if by the time he reached puberty, someone who was entitled dies? The heirs of the person that were entitled to the blood of the victim, the first victim, the you know, will take their place in that entitlement. And then, so everybody will, but it could also be like a cycle. And that is why, so some said the guardian would be able to make that decision, And at least when it comes to the guardian of the insane, if the guardian of the if the insane is poor, the guardian of the insane can make that decision to get the diyah to spend on the insane from the diyah, because insanity in particular, there is no guarantee when you can recoup from that. There is no guarantee when you can recoup from that. Whereas a child, we know that, you know, they'll get older. I mean, if they don't die, they will get older. So it's either this or that. So that is the first condition here. Yes, if it is, if they are senile to the point where they are unable to make a decision, they're, then yes, they would basically, someone who does not have the faculty, the intellect to make that decision. الثاني, the second condition, اتفاق جميع المستحقين على استيفائه فإن لم يأذن فيه بعضهم أو كان فيهم غائب لم يجوز استيفاؤه فإن استوفاه بعضهم فلا قصاص عليه وعليه بقية ديته له ولشركائه حقهم في تركة الجاني. Second, all of the entitled blood custodians must agree on the execution of retribution. If some of them do not, alaykum salam, if some of them do not agree or are absent, retribution may not be executed. If one of them carries it out, there will be no retribution against him, but he will owe the remaining portion of the indemnity. His co-heirs will be entitled to their shares of the indemnity, taken from the murderer's estate. Okay, so now I have three brothers, brother A, B, C, these three brothers. Someone killed their father, and they're all entitled to the wife also of the man. They're all entitled. They have to agree. So the wife and the three children have to agree. These three children could be boy, girl. They have to agree with the wife. All of them have to agree with the wife. What if someone said, no, I don't want equal retribution, I want the daya? All of them would have to accept it. It takes one to say, I want the daya, not equal retribution, for the murderer to basically be exempt. Yes, if they say to this, if they say to C, how much money are you expecting? 30 camels? We'll give you the 30 camels, whatever it is. I mean, not. We'll give you the 30 camels. And let us all agree in court to ask for equal retribution. Yeah, of course, they can do that if they want. Now, let us say that one of them was absent. One of them was absent. And these two decided to go on with equal retribution without asking the absent or waiting for the absent. And the absent comes and says, you know, I wanted the day. I did not want equal retribution. They'll have to pay him. But in the Hanbali Mazhab, if someone carries out the qisas, the authorized view is that if someone carries out the qisas, even though, you know, one did not want it, or one wanted the daya, or both of them wanted the daya, let us see, all of them wanted the daya, B insisted, and carried out the qisas. Okay, he will not be liable for killing, but he will owe the family of the victim, or the family of the offender. Mm-hmm. Now the offender will be killed. He will kill the offender. So the original offender, he will owe the family of the original offender the daya minus his share, because he's entitled. Like, let us say this is a wife, and for ease, let us say these are three boys. The wife will get 1/8, and the three boys will get 7/8. So multiply this by 3. So 24. And multiply this by 3, 12 be 21. So each one of the children will get 7 over 24, and the wife will get 3 over 24. Okay. Now, B goes ahead and kills the person who killed their father. B will have to give to the family of the person who killed their father the daya minus his share, which is 7 over 24. 7 over 24. So he will have to give them 24 minus 7 is 17. 17 over 24 of the day. The family of the first offender will owe the 17 over 24 to the rest who did not carry out the qisas, who wanted the day. The weaker position in the mazhab says, instead of doing it this way, let us make this person who carried out the qisas owe his relatives, the rest of the day. And instead of owing it to the family of the victim, the family of the offender, and then the family of the offender owing it to the rest of the blood custodians, let's just make him pay it to them. Then the sheikh says, وَيَسْتَحِقُّ الْقِصَاصُ كُلُّ مَنْ يَرِثُ الْمَالَ عَلَى قَدْرِ مَوَارِثِهِمْ. All the victims' co-heirs deserve the right of qisas in proportion to their shares of the inheritance. Like I said, the wife, she deserves the right to qisas. But qisas cannot be divided. The life is a life. You can't divide the life. It will be the day that will be divided in proportion to their shares. But qisas, anyone who owns any right or has any entitlement to qisas, no matter how small that is, like 1 over 72, whatever it is, no matter how small, could be even less, they will have the right to forgive, and if they forgive, that's it. There is no equal retribution. And it will go back to the day, and they'll get their share. Then the sheikh said, الثالث الأمن من التعدي في الاستيفاء فلو كان الجاني حاملا لم يجوز استيفاء القصاص منها في نفس ولا جرح ولا استيفاء حد منها حتى تضع ولدها ويستغني عنها. Third, assurance of no transgression in execution. If the offender is a pregnant woman, it is not permissible to carry out qisas, whether in retaliation for murder or a wound, nor is it permissible to execute a had until she gives birth and her child becomes independent of her. So al-amn al-ta'addi, non-transgression. Non-transgression is not only about the pregnant woman, but the example of the pregnant woman is clear. The pregnant woman who kills someone, we cannot kill her until, the pregnant woman also who deserves a had, like a fixed penalty, if had for anything, for zina, for anything, we cannot kill her because, her fetus is not responsible for her crime. So that would be transgression to kill her and her fetus. If she deserves killing, then, you can. So what you will do is to wait until she gives birth and then she gives the colostrum, al-laba. Colostrum, al-laba, to the baby. And once she has given the colostrum to the baby, if there is someone else with the breast to feed him, then the execution can be carried out. If there is no one else to breastfeed him, you will defer the execution until she weans the child. So that's the pregnant woman. And that's part of Islam's sort of like protection of the rights of the fetuses. And if she claims to be pregnant, then we lock her up until, we don't have to lock her up if it is a had. She can go home if it is a had. But if it is a crime against a person, then we lock her up until she, until we figure out if she's pregnant or not. What else? Okay, so al-amn min at-ta'addi, which is non-transgression, is not only limited to a pregnant woman, but if I cause a wound or a fracture that cannot be reproduced in the offender with exactness, then it will not be. So you cut someone's limb, but not from a mifsal, not from a joint, They said it can't be reproduced with extreme, or you break the skull of someone. Well, if equal attribution is carried out, there is no guarantee that that will not kill the offender. Well, the victim did not die, alhamdulillah. But if we try to execute the sort of equal retribution, we may kill the offender. So since we have no guarantee against non-transgression, we will not carry it. Every time we cannot carry out the equal retribution, it will default to their compensation, blood money, unless the victim forgives or pardons the offender, and then in this case, they will have the reward in the hereafter. Then the sheikh said, okay, subsection, the obligation becomes void if one of the following occurs. فصل ويسقط بعد وجوبه بأمور ثلاثة أحدها العفو عنه. So now he will talk about when does it drop. It drops in one of three conditions. Pardoning. Inheriting the entitlement. And then the third one is the death of the offender. Of course, like if he died or she died, equal retribution. Okay, you cannot execute equal retribution. Inheriting the entitlement, if you inherit, like if you are the offender and then you inherit the right to equal retribution, and we'll talk about it shortly, inshallah. So the first one, أحدها العفو عنه أو عن بعضه فلو عفى بعض الورثة عن حقه أو عن بعضه سقط كله وللباقين حقهم من الدية وإن كان العفو على مال فله حقه من الدية وإلا فليس له إلا الثواب. First, pardoning. So if some of the co-heirs waive their right to all or part of the retribution, it all becomes void, and the remaining co-heirs are entitled to their share of the indemnity. If pardoning was in return for compensation, he will be entitled to his share of the indemnity. Otherwise, he will be only entitled to the reward of the hereafter. As we said before, it takes one person to forgive or to pardon, and equal retribution is not executable anymore. Everything defaults to the daya, and everybody gets their portion of the daya based on their inheritance. Portion of inheritance. So that is al-afw. And then it says that, you know, al-afw could be ila mal or not ila mal. So pardoning could be, you could pardon and demand the diyah, or pardon and forego the diyah. So pardoning with compensation, pardoning without compensation, except the compensation in the hereafter, which is certainly great. But Imam Taymiyyah had a take, like an interesting and wise take on فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحْ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ in the Quran. So he who forgives, he says, Allah says, he who forgives and causes reconciliation. Aslah also means causes reform. So it could be causes reconciliation and reform. فَأَجْرُهُ the reward عَلَى اللَّهِ will be with Allah. He said that عَفْو does not always lead to this. عَفْو becomes superior, to pardon the offender becomes superior if it leads to reconciliation and reform. If afw leads to emboldening the offenders, then afw is inferior. Afw is not superior in this case. So we have to use our minds. The objective of afw needs to be realized. If the objective of afw will not be realized through afw, the opposite will take place, then afw becomes inferior. Then the Sheikh said the second condition, the first factor to cause the equal attribution to drop is afwan. The second is an yarith al qatil. He says a thani an yarith al qatil aw ba'du waladihi shay'an min damihi. Second, if the killer inherits the entitlement to retribution, or if one of his offspring does. How do you inherit the entitlement to retribution? This is easy. So, here is a child kills his father. Doesn't the child have the right to inherit from his father? Yes. Then he inherited the right to equal retribution. Correct? No, not correct. Yeah, because the Prophet said la yarith al qatil. So the murderer will not inherit. But who inherited the right to equal retribution in this case? The wife of the victim. She is the mother of the child. Let us say shortly thereafter she died. He inherited from her the right to equal retribution. And in this case, he will not be killed because you inherited the right to your own blood. So that's an example. So what about the other example that he said? We can keep the same drawing. This woman kills this man. Who inherits the right to equal retribution? His son. She doesn't inherit, even though she's his wife, because she killed him. But the son inherits. Can the son demand the death of his mother? No. He cannot. Which makes it but this is the authorized view. It's a controversial issue, and there is another view that these things will not cause the right equal retribution to drop. And the Muslim religion,
This goes back to the Shatt al-Raqa, from the shuhud that the parent can be the killer.
Yes, it goes back to the parent that cannot be. So a parent will not be killed for their child. And then a child cannot demand the death of their parent. So at any rate, but the Muslim legislatures will choose of the different positions, different scholarly positions, those that are most suitable. Then the Sheikh said, الثالث أن يموت القاتل فيسقط وتجب الدية في تركته. Third, if the killer dies, then qisas will not be executable and the indemnity will be binding on his estate. So if the killer dies, then there is no equal retribution. Equal retribution from whom? And then it will default to the day. And the day will be binding on the estate of the offender. So the heirs of the offender, before they divide his inheritance, they will have to pay the day. ولو قتل واحد اثنين عمدا فاتفق أولياؤهما على قتله بهما جاز وإن تشاحوا في المستوفي قتل بالأول وللثاني الدية فإن سقط قصاص الأول فلأولياء الثاني استيفاؤه. If one person intentionally kills two people and their blood custodians agree on having him killed in retaliation for both, he will be killed in retaliation for both. If they dispute over the execution of retribution, he will be killed in retaliation for the first, and the co-heirs of the second will be entitled to the indemnity. If the right to retribution for the first becomes void, the blood custodians of the second will be entitled to carry out qisas. Okay, so one person kills two people. So X kills Y and Z. The family of Y and Z agreed, let us carry out equal retribution. And they agreed among themselves that one of us, doesn't matter, we'll carry it out, or we will have the imam, the authorities, carry it out. So they reached an agreement. Then they can do it, and that's it, all done. If they compete among themselves, no, we want to kill him for our sort of relative. They said we want to kill him for our relative. They said we want to kill him for our relative. What happens in this case? The first victim, the one who died first, the one who was killed first, the family of the first victim will have the right to equal retribution. The second family will take the deal. Sometimes, like if the second family, if the first family was smart enough, they'd let the second to do it, and then they get the deal. But anyway, and if we don't know who died first, then they draw lots to determine who has the right to equal retribution, and the other family will have the deal. What if the first family, one person in the first family pardoned? One person in the first family pardoned. Then the right to equal retribution for this victim drops. And then the second family then will have the right to equal retribution. And then the sheikh said, وَيُسْتَوْفَ الْقِصَاصُ بِالسَّيْفِ فِي الْعُنُقِ وَلَا يُمَثَّلُ بِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ يَفْعَلَ شَيْئًا فَيُفْعَلَ بِهِ مِثْلُ. Qisas is exacted by striking the neck with the sword. He will not be mutilated unless he killed the victim in a certain way, in which case he may be subjected to the same. Now, it has been reported in Bukhari that a little girl was killed, and she was asked when she was dying, who killed me, who killed you? And she said that Jewish man killed her to steal her jewelry, and the Prophet ﷺ, it was reported that he brought the Jewish man until he confessed. And that's the whole point, that he confessed. Otherwise, you can't really base the death penalty on the claim of the girl. So the Jewish man confessed, and then he had killed her by crushing her head between two rocks, and it was reported that the same was done to him. So some of the scholars said, whatever you have done, the same could be done to you, because that is equal retribution. And some of the scholars said, no, it has to be the strike of the sword, because that is إِذَا قَدَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَ, that is ihsan and qatl, that is merciful, the most merciful way of killing, the fastest, quickest. I mean, it doesn't look that, but it is the fastest and quickest, the fastest and sort of least painful, or at least in their times it was. So the strike of the sword. In the Hanbali Mazhab, Imam al-Qudama and many in the middle generation, they chose that there is an option here, the strike of the sword or whatever was done to the victim. And who gets to choose? The family of the victim. And the latter generations, the authorized view in the Hanbali Mazhab does not give the choice, but it is the strike of the sword. That's the only way of execution of equal retribution is the strike of the sword. So that is basically a quick overview of the conditions, not of obligation, but conditions of execution. When does it drop? And we talked about af or pardoning. Next time, inshallah, we will talk about الاشتراك في القتل or partnering in murder. قولوا قولي هذا استغفر الله لي لكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك إن شاء الله لن استغفرك وأتوب إليك.